Pope Francis has joined with Lynn Rothschild to assemble guardians of the new inclusive economy, inclusive capitalism, they're calling it. I find it alarming. We've basically seen the Pope partnership with the Rothschild, this Lynn Rothschild. I'll explain her in just a moment. She's a dear friend to Hillary Clinton, and she's the third wife of Evelyn Rothschild, who is the heir of the English Rothschild branch and is the financial advisor to Queen Elizabeth of England. Pope Francis and Lynn Rothschild have assembled a dream team of major economic leaders, CEOs. We're talking about the CEOs and leaders of MasterCard, Visa, both usurers, Bank of America, CalPERS, Merck, Johnson & Johnson, British Petroleum, the Ford Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, and on and on. I'm going to share who these people are. But what the Pope is calling for and what Lynn Rothschild's calling for is a reset. We've been using this language a lot. It's their language. It's not ours. A great reset into 2021. And this is the economic. And I'm going to run the video that they put out. This is the video that the Pope's council put out. It features Cardinal Turkson. It features Lynn Rothschild. And they explain it. And what I found interesting, you'll see this when you watch it. What I found interesting is that they are linking religion with this new inclusive capitalism. So we'll run that video in just a moment. I want to begin with prayer. I think it's important that we all begin in prayer, especially as we talk about these things. It can be very unsettling. And so we're going to begin in prayer together. We'll pray the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that our Savior taught us, and we'll do it in Latin, the Pater Noster. Oremus. In nomine Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Pater Noster, qui es in Caeli, sanctificetur nomen Tuum, adveniat regnum Tuum, fiat voluntas Tua, sicut in cielo et in terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis odie, et dimitte nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris, et ne nos inducas in tentationem, se libera nos a malo. Amen. In nomine Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. All right, well, let's get started. Before we do, if you like this video, please like it. Please share this video on Facebook, Parler, Twitter, whatever you do on social media. And if you're new, please take a moment and subscribe. We are live. Hit that bell button and you'll be notified every time we go live. Okay. Yesterday, you heard me read from the Pope's new book, Pope Francis, the new book, Let Us Dream. And he talks about all these evil capitalists who ensnare people in loans and indebt them forever and how we need to reimagine the future. And yet, on December 8th, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, Pope Francis was meeting with this group right here, which includes Visa, MasterCard, some of the biggest usurers on planet, the biggest. Credit card debt is a great evil for so many people. And so in one instance in the new book, he's condemning it, and then in the next, he's taking a photo op and working together with them. Now, this whole thing is led by the two people in the center. Let me blow the image up here. So, you, of course, Pope Francis is obvious. On his left is Cardinal Turkson. You've heard me talk about Cardinal Turkson. He's the one who actually presented at the Davos meeting discussing the Great Reset. He is the Pope's, here he's the left-hand man, but he's the Pope's main man when it comes to these great reset policies. So I was not surprised at all to see Cardinal Turkson there at this meeting. Now, on the right hand of Pope Francis is Lynn Rothschild. It's the blonde lady there in the black dress. Now, who is Lynn Rothschild? She is, I'm going to open up her bio in a little bit. I want to put a picture of her on the screen if I can find it. Here she is. All right, there's Lynn Rothschild in the black dress right there on the right there. And you can see she's with her friend Hillary Clinton. We all know Hillary Clinton, right? All right. Let me get my video or my tabs back open. I've been having so much problem with my tabs lately. All right. Lynn Foster Rothschild is the third wife of Sir Evelyn Robert Rothschild. Evelyn Rothschild, I'll put a picture of him on the screen as well. Probably recognize him. He's a pretty famous guy. Let's see. There he is. That's Sir Evelyn Rothschild. He is the financial advisor and planner for Queen Elizabeth II. And he's the heir, as I said in the opening, of the surviving wing of the Rothschild fortune and business as it survived in England and other parts of Europe. It became suppressed or disappeared altogether, either from not having heirs or through political interventions. So Lynn Forrester Rothschild, her third husband, if you can follow all this, her third husband is the heir, Evelyn Rothschild. And she is his third wife. So they're both on their third spouses. And Lynn Forster, that's the wife who you see depicted on the screen with Pope Francis. She manages investments in the Economist Group. She's the owner of the company of the Economist Magazine, Congressional Quarterly, The Economist Intelligence Unit, the E.L. Rothschild LP, a leading independent wealth management firm in the United States, as well as real estate, agricultural, and food interests. She publicly supports many politicians, including Hillary Clinton. She rallies for a political movement called Inclusive Capitalism, and led the Conference of Inclusive Capitalism in London in 2014 and 2015, and founded the Coalition for Inclusive Capitalism. So she is a very wealthy woman, married to one of the wealthiest men on planet Earth, and she's a favorite of Hillary Clinton. Now, I want to share here her politics. From 1993 to 1995, she served, this is Lynn Rothschild, on President Bill Clinton's National Information Infrastructure Advisory Board. Bill Clinton's National Information Infrastructure Advisory Board. From 1998 to 2000, she served on the U.S. Secretary of Energy's Advisory Committee. She has donated to all of Bill and Hillary Clinton's federal races since 1992. So the Rothschild family, in this part, Lynn Rothschild, is one of the major donors to both Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton's campaigns. Although Rothschild was a major fundraiser for Hillary Clinton's 2008 presidential bid, she transferred her support to Republican candidate John McCain when Barack Obama beat Clinton, becoming a minor celebrity on cable television at the time for attacking Obama in a series of interviews. It's interesting. And that was the 2008 bid. That's not the recent, the one that she ran against Clinton. That was in the Democratic primary. She co-chaired and founded a day-long conference of inclusive capitalism beginning in 2014, and that's really been her war drum ever since. And now she's been able to partner with Pope Francis. She's partnering with Pope Francis. Now, I'm going to share with you the video that features this new initiative between the Vatican and between Lynn Rothschild and their assembled teams of, they call them guardians. These are the guardians. So let me take some of these things off the screen and we'll run this video. I'm not going to run the whole video. I'll run about half of it so that you get a feel for what's going on. Let's see if I can move this, make it a little bit more There we go. Okay, let's run it.
We are stewards of this earth. It's our duty to keep it clean and to keep it decent for future generations.
That's her talking. That's
wanting to embark on this journey to provide.
All right, I need a pause here. So here's Cardinal Turkson. I already mentioned it. I don't know if you realized. Let me show real quick. This is Lynn Forrester Rothschild right here.
We are That's stewards her. Of this earth. It's our duty to keep it clean and to keep it decent for future generations.
So one thing you're going to see here is you're going to see the blend of economy, environmentalism, and religion. Those three things merge, if you watch my podcast or you follow Pope Francis, you know those are the hitting points, right? Those are the talking points of Pope Francis constantly. So you can see this whole thing is merged with Francis' vision, or it might even be that Francis' vision has formed this. All right, here's Cardinal Turkson.
To embark on this journey to provide the guidance and the assistance of the Church's own social thought and whatever other consideration might be necessary, you know, whether ethical or, you know, just social guidance, so that this group that has, you know, taken up such a noble task of making capitalism work for the good of humanity, achieve its goal and land on target. So this is our vision. This is our purpose.
Look, the fact that different religions need to come together on all matters is just the crying need of the times in our world.
Okay, so here we have a MasterCard CEO, and he's telling us that we must come together as all religions. This is part of the problem. This is part of the New World Order. This is why I've been saying ecumenism is the religious version of globalism. I'm going to back this up, and I'm going to let the man speak for himself. Everyone, please listen closely to this man. He's a Sikh. His religion is Sikhism. Here we go.
The fact that different religions need to come together on all matters is just the crying need of the times in our world. Faith cannot be used to pull us apart. Faith is meant to bring us together. And the fact that I'm a Sikh and somebody else is a different religion, to me, doesn't matter.
Our work.
So the problem here is he says faith draws us together. Well, that's true if we're the same faith. But if your faith, which let's say he mentions Islam, he's not a Muslim, he's a Sikh. If your faith says that Allah has no son, and my faith says that unless you believe in God the Son of God, you can't be saved, we have an impasse. We can't come together. You see, the faith of the Mohammedan and the faith of the Christian do not work together. Same with the Hindu. If a Hindu believes in a plurality of divinities and we believe in one God, that doesn't work either. And if a Jewish person says that Jesus of Nazareth was a failed prophet or a failed revolutionary who died on a cross and did not rise from the dead, we can't come together. It is the belief of Christians that we all come together when we all come to recognize Jesus Christ as the Lord, Savior, and King of humanity. That's why we evangelize, and that's why we continue in our belief as Catholics to make the church Catholic, Catholica, universal. Let's continue.
Faith cannot be used to pull us apart. Faith is meant to bring us together. And the fact that I'm a Sikh and somebody else is a different religion, to me, it doesn't matter.
Our work is indeed about social justice, which is rooted.
This is Ford Foundation.
In the gospel, the idea that every person deserves to live in a just society.
Capitalism is at the heart of innovation that creates higher standard of living. And we know that it's been working, yet we also know we can do a lot better.
We need a new system focused on the well-being of people, It's a big challenge. But if it is done right, the benefits will be immense.
It's not just an asset owner. It's not just an asset manager. It's not just a CEO. It's not just these boards of directors. We have to work collectively over the long term.
So they're wanting us to join the movement. I don't understand. I mean, I'm going to address my words to Pope Francis. Pope Francis, I don't understand how you can, in this book, talk about why how we need to create a new economy and then buddy up with the richest, I don't want to say criminal, but the biggest and largest millionaire, billionaire, banker types of the world and push forward the agenda that you say you're pushing forward. It seems to me not to fit together. Help me understand that.
What I think capitalism has to stand for to be
Bank of America,
how we help everybody have equal access to the opportunity, have the economic mobility.
The council is a terrific body in which we can assemble a critical mass of companies to join and commit to concrete actions that not only affect and improve the communities in which we live, but affect the world community of which we're all a part of.
We believe we need...
Is anyone talking about... The only person who's actually talked too much about religion in this video was the Sikh. And that's a problem. Where's God in this?
More than 1,000 organizations on board, and only with this very purposeful collective action, we will see the systemic change across markets that will make capitalism truly inclusive.
We invite all business.
So this is her. This is Lynn. This is the right-hand lady of Pope Francis for this movement. Here she is.
This is large and small, and individuals to join us as stewards for inclusive capitalism by going to our website, agreeing the principles, and making your own commitments to inclusive capitalism. Please join us. Thank you.
Okay, there it is. So this is the new inclusive capitalism, joined by, and for those of you that are just joining us, Pope Francis has partnered with Lynn Rothschild, who you just saw on the screen there. And they've brought in the CEOs of MasterCard, Visa, Bank of America, Allianz, CalPERS, Merck, Johnson & Johnson, British Petroleum, the Ford Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, and so on and so forth. These CEOs have been named by this Vatican Council as, quote, guardians. They are guardians of inclusive capitalism. Now, let's take a look at who are these guardians that the Pope has, well, Pope and Lynn Rothschild have chosen. So let me get these guys queued up here. Here we go. All right. So you'll see here is Pope Francis with all the guardians. This is in the Vatican. This meeting happened on December 8th, the Immaculate Conception, a holy day of obligation. I sense like we're getting trolled on all of these special saints days in the Catholic Church, that these are the days in which things get dropped on us. So Immaculate Conception, this is what we get. This is the gift that we get. And then this is our guardian. So this is the council for, look at the title up here at the very top. Can y'all see that? Let me see if I can, that's going to be hard for me to do, but right up, let's see if this will work. There we go. See my cursor up here at the top? This is Council for Inclusive Capitalism with the Vatican. With the Vatican. Y'all got that? Okay, now let's take a look at who we have here. So we have, I'm not going to go through all the names. Some of them are hard to pronounce. We already saw AJ Bonga. He's president and chief executive officer of MasterCard. He's the one who really says, hey, faith is going to bring us all together. Okay. Then we've got chairman of the board for Allianz. We've got Salesforce. We've got CEO of DuPont. This one's interesting right here. We've got Mark Carney, financial advisor to the prime minister, COP26, and special envoy for climate action and finance at the United Nations. And as you know, if you watch my podcast, you know I don't like the United Nations one bit. Moving through here, I'm just going to, you know, I don't want to name them all, but there's Merck, Estee Lauder, CalPERS, Johnson & Johnson CEO, Visa chairman and CEO. Estee Lauder got back on there. Here's the CEO for BP, British Petroleum. This is interesting here. Look over here at Fiona Ma. This is treasurer, California Treasury. That's an interesting one. Didn't expect to see that one. Bank of America CEO, Brian Moynihan. State Street, Guardian. There's Lynn Rothschild. This is also an interesting one here. We got Rajiv Shah on the right side of the screen. He's president of the Rockefeller Foundation. That's a big one. We have Darren Walker, right side of the screen, Ford Foundation. So this is the assembly of what's happening. And you can go on your own and read everything over on the inclusive capitalism. Here's the webpage. This is a inclusivecapitalism.com. And you can go over here and you can join the movement. Commitments, you know, do you want to make a commitment to people, planet, principles of governance, prosperity, or do you want to make all commitments? They're asking people to make commitments. And then here's their guiding principles, their guardians, the organizations, etc. Now, what do we make of all this? Well, we need to realize that the Friends of Francis are highly involved in politics, highly involved in the new clean energy movement, and highly involved in the banking finance sector of planet Earth. And he has assembled some of the most powerful and wealthy people on the planet. When you realize this and you go and you look at the other political statements that are made by George Soros and Klaus Schwab, which I've been talking about here on the podcast. And if you want to hear more about that, please do subscribe. Hit the subscribe button just below the video and then hit the bell. When you pair these things up, you realize that Pope Francis is 100% on board with the Great Reset. I was reading yesterday in the prologue from his book, and I'll read it again. In case you missed it, in case you weren't with us, he talks a lot about COVID and how COVID has given us this great opportunity. And he says, you know, because of COVID, God asks us to dare to create something new. And he says, and I underlined it here in the book, what will be our new principle? Francis is asking. What will be our new principle? And then he tells us in the next paragraph, he says, the modern era, which has developed equality and liberty with such determination, now needs to focus on fraternity with the same drive and tenacity to confront the challenges ahead. Fraternity will enable freedom and equality to take its rightful place in the symphony. So he is using the battle cry of the French Revolution, which is equality, liberty, and fraternity. And he's calling for this great symphony to be what he calls, quote, the new principle in a post-COVID-19 world. Those are the words of Pope Francis. That's not a conspiracy theory. I didn't make that up. That's not my thesis. Those are the words. And we look at the partnerships and the fact that at Davos, D-A-V-O-S, go look it up. Go look it up. At Davos, who's there speaking on behalf of the Pope? Cardinal Turkson, who's also involved in this new council at the Vatican for inclusive capitalism. I don't like this. I don't like the fact that the Pope is doing this. I don't like the fact that there are Pachamama idols set up in St. Peter's. All of this, to me, is apocalyptic. There, I said it. This is apocalyptic. We are seeing religion, religious leaders, and not all religion's good, by the way. We are seeing religious leaders team up with eco people who are in favor of infanticide and abortion and contraception, team up with credit card companies, team up with social media, team up with China, team up with Joe Biden, team up with Hillary Clinton. All the usual suspects are teaming up. And what alarms me is Pope Francis is on that team. So let us pray. What can we do but pray? Christ is King. Christ is Savior. Christ is the Son of God. He has a plan, but this is looking apocalyptic. It looks apocalyptic. And you know what you do in an apocalypse or in a time of trouble? You return to God. You seek the face of Jesus Christ. You ask yourself, what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Is my soul saved? If I die, am I going to go to hell? Am I going to go to heaven? Am I going to go to purgatory? What's going to happen to me? Whose team am I on? There's only two teams, Satan's team and the team of Jesus Christ. Right now, every single one of us, everyone watching this video right now is on one of those two teams. There is no gray zone. There are two final destinations for mankind, heaven and hell. That's it. We must ask ourselves the question, which team am I on and which destination am I headed to? Now, it may surprise many people watching this. I know there's many Protestants who watch this podcast, watch this YouTube channel. It may surprise you to see me saying, wow, the Pope is on the wrong side right now. And yet I'm a Catholic. How can that even be? And my answer to that is all throughout history, going all the way back into the Old Testament, we have seen the leadership of the people of God fail and even betray the people and infiltrate the people. I wrote a book, Infiltration, that details this in the last 120 years. But think about the time of Moses. Remember when they built the golden calf and worshiped it? Who did that? Who built it? Who molded it? Aaron, the brother of Moses. Aaron was the high priest of Israel. And he was the one who tempted and corrupted the people. The highest priest in the whole nation of Israel is the one who led them into worshiping a golden idol. And yet he repented and he went on to be the high priest of Israel until he died. There, within Catholicism, we understand that there's only one church, one true faith, and there are also Judases, there are Ariuses, there are Nestoriuses, there are all kinds of evil bishops, priests, even popes, evil laymen who infiltrate and corrupt the church. It's the Judas principle. But we Catholics never leave Jesus because of Judas. In the Old Testament, you couldn't start your own Israel. First United Israel across the street, couldn't do that. You stayed in the one true Israel, And as Catholics, we say you stay in the one true Catholic Church, no matter how hard it gets, no matter how bad it gets, you stay a Catholic. You can't go and say, well, I'm going to be the Lutheran Church that follows Luther, or I'm going to be the Wesleyan Church that follows John Wesley, or I'm going to start my own community Bible church that only follows the Bible, but it follows the Bible in the way that I think the Bible is. No. You follow the one true church that's always existed. Has it had problems along the way? Has it taken hits? Yes, yes, and yes. But we stay Catholic. When Jesus taught the Eucharist, that you must eat his flesh and drink his blood, that's a key teaching for Catholics. Many disciples left him in John chapter 6. Then he turned to his apostles and said, will you also leave? And Peter says, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. People may betray Christ. Bishops, cardinals, and popes may betray Christ. But that doesn't mean that the one church is not the one church. There's one church in the New Testament, one. And there are zero denominations in the New Testament. All right. Well, if you enjoyed this video, please like it. Give it a thumbs up. And please share this video. There's a share button. Share it on Twitter, Facebook. And if you're new, you can. There's a little button in the corner. You can click on that and you can subscribe. Hit the bell. You'll be notified whenever I go live. And please join us here on the Dr. Taylor Marshall podcast. All right, we're going to close in prayer. We'll pray the Ave Maria and the Gloria Patri, and we pray these for Pope Francis. Oremus. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Gloria Patri et Filio et Spiritui Sancto, sicut erat in principio et nunc et semper et in saecula saeculorum. Amen. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. All right, friends. Well, let me get all these things off the screen. Remember, you must pray every day. If you don't pray, you won't be saved. Praying is talking and having a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And the easiest way to pray every day and to stay on task is to pray the rosary. I recommend pray the rosary every day. And it's not my recommendation. It's the recommendation of hundreds of saints and dozens of popes who have said, pray the rosary every day. It's the Bible on beads. That's what the rosary is. So this year, get a rosary. If you don't have one already, order one and pray the rosary every day. If you don't pray the rosary, you're not on the team. All right, everybody, thanks for watching. Remember, our Lord Jesus Christ said you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty. God bless. God.